All right, we can get going now that I've got everything scrolled away. There are no questions in the questions thread, though, so get those Resonate questions coming in. Actually, there's a couple now. I didn't scroll down, so I'll go through those in order. So we got what the dog doing, so you can see what the dog's doing. He's chilling. Yeah. So there you go, dog cam. Recording check. Yeah, we're recording. And then Dracona says, what's the thoughts on this mod? It seems to actually work. Oh yeah, that's Thundergun. Thundergun is the perfect pivotal example of why we can't just implement mods. So there is like a lot of hacky stuff that occurs in that mod. Just, you know, speaking for sort of preemptiveness from people that think like this, that doesn't mean it's bad. That just means that it's hacky. There's a difference. Okay. Fed has just decided that they don't want to be part of this then. So, yeah. It's good, but like it's hacky. Like the code and the way that it's done, we can't do. Feta, come back here. Come on. Otherwise we get like comments about why is the couch cam. Come on. All right. Now get back on the couch or I have to turn the camera off. Okay. No. I know that you want to go outside. We'll go outside after this. Okay, dog? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go through the additional questions that we have here. Feta, like, what are you doing? There you go. All right. Done. They got tangled in some wires. They do it all the time. Okay. So Red asks, is there any unlit that's rendered behind all other objects? I'm not sure, but you can probably edit the render queue of a bunch of the unlit shaders to have that effect. Moving forwards to Colin. Colin says, what's the progress on updating the C# runtime for the client? We haven't even started that yet. We're unable to start that until a lot more stuff has happened. So it's, oh my God, let's just draw this, right? We're just going to draw this and we're probably gonna, what's the word? Excali draw. And we're probably going to record it and we're going to stick it on my YouTube channel because yeah, I need a new, I'll just scroll to a new area. This diagram. Oh, you got tangled in my cables again. Basically, he'll jump up and say like, hi, on the left side of me. And when he does that, he gets tangled in my headphone cord because I'm kind of on wired headphones. And when he jumps up on the left, it means he wants something. When he jumps up on the right, it means that he wants a cuddle. You're going to have to wait. Okay. I'm just yelling at him and you just see elbow cam. Oh, look at that like HD elbow. Well, it's not HD. It's a C922, so you know. Or is it C920? I don't remember. Whatever. Where are we? How am I doing this? All right, let's turn off non-existent dog cam for a moment. And let's head on over to a new window. And we're going to share our screen and we're going to go to... We've got to wait for that to load because it takes forever for some reason. All right, so then we're going to open up OBS. I'm going to be copying this drawing from Frux's podcast. Frux gave a really good way of doing it, so the sort of theme of that drawing is going to be copied from there. All right, I hope we're all watching. Let me take a look. Start recording. All right, so right now, as I'm sure you're aware, we've got Resonate, right? And you just play Resonate and you might not understand how it works or anything like that. That's perfectly fine. But like inside Resonate, there's actually two components. So we're gonna make Unity apparently not red. There we go, now it's red. We're gonna make Unity red. And we're going to make Frux Engine blue, I don't know, right? And Unity. And with both of these parts working, you get Resonate that you know and love. Let me just get chat onto the other screen so I can see how I'm doing, because sometimes I explain stuff well, sometimes I explain it incredibly poorly. What's happening right now is that we've got a bunch of stuff that is closely tied together to Unity. Like, so a good example of something that's tied in Unity is the particle system. Another one would be the audio system. Looks like I've made the text red. I don't really know how, but whatever. These are both in Unity right now. And because they're in Unity, it means that they're blocked, right? They can only exist... Right. They can only exist inside Unity. So what we're doing currently is we're taking all these parts, and there might be others, right? We'd have to double check and take a look at it. So there might be other systems. We're taking these systems and we're rewriting them such that they are over here in Frux Engine. Let's make this wider. There we go. So we're rewriting it, right? So Photon Dust, the new particle system, is going to become blue one day. The audio system here is like half blue because Syrah is working on it, but Frux needs to finish it off. But like it's also sort of in the process of moving across here. Once it's over here and we have no more red components on the left here, we can actually start enacting a lot of change over here, right? We can make a lot more changes here. It also means that when we replace Unity with Source, I think that's how it's spelled. Whatever, it doesn't matter. When we replace Unity with Source, we don't then have to rewrite all these systems again. We don't have to rewrite all of them because they're over in Freaks Engine. So the way the particle system actually works is it just sends buffers over to Unity. And when we go over to Source, it's just going to send buffers over to Source. And both of those engines are being instructed, like, hey, we're giving you like a raw buffer. Just like shove it on the screen as fast as you can. Like literally as fast as you can, just shove this on the screen. And that's what they're doing. So that's what's going on right now. And that's why it looks like we're not working on performance, but we actually are. We're like doing like performance prerequisites. So if you think of us like building a building that's, you know, a big sort of, you know, apartment building, we got to like do the foundations first. We got to like, you know, pour concrete, make sure the sewer lines are good, the electricity lines are good, right? And then we build the building. And that's what's going on. Once this is by itself, like all done, so once these are all across over onto the right, the big performance upgrade that we're going to get is multiprocess. So now multiprocess essentially takes Freaks Engine and it runs different processes for different parts of Freaks Engine. So I'm not entirely sure like what exactly will be in its own process, but it's highly likely that a session might. So then each session runs on its own process. Let's say you're in three sessions, right? What you'll actually have is three Resonite EXEs. It might be a different EXE name. It doesn't really matter. It's just an EXE, right? And so let's say that like this session crashes. That process will crash, but Freaks Engine itself won't crash. When these are separate, we can also make these .NET 9. So these can be 9. Well, not that bit, the bottom bit here. These can be 9 because they're separate processes, right? And this, because it's still in Unity, that still has to be 4.7.2. Once we have Source, we can make this part also .NET 9. But we have to wait till Source is ready. Like Unity can't go to .NET 9. I hope that made sense. If it didn't make sense, there's really nothing I can do. Maybe I'll try again later. Whatever. All right. Moving on to additional questions. I'll leave the Xcali drawer open just in case it helps me explain other stuff. So that's Colin's question. On to Emergency Temporal Shift's question, who says, what is the best particle? I don't know what you mean. Like, do you mean like a particle system or like a elementary particle? And then when you like talking about elementary particles, do you mean actually elementary, so quarks? Or do you mean like the second level of elementary, like proton, neutron, electron? Like here you go. Here's the actual elementary particles, right? And like, you'll see like proton isn't on there and neither is neutron. And that's because they're not elementary. Like we've looked lower. The interesting part though, is that electrons are elementary, which is very interesting. I don't know. I don't know if like I'm unique in this sort of mentality, but I find it distressing that we don't understand how reality works. And like, so sometimes a common thing that'll happen is like, if I'm having a bad night's sleep, sometimes I'll look at my hand and I'm like, yeah, I know it's a hand. I know that I can move it and that like it'll work as a hand, but I have got no idea like why it exists. And yeah, you can be like, yeah, family, you know, when mummy and daddy, blah, 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 right? You can do all that, right? But that still doesn't explain like the fact that it's there. And it weirds me out. Have we had the USB cable debate at some point? Because like, yeah. Like you as a person, you're just like riding like an organic mech suit, right? That's literally what's happening. If you look it up, I won't paste it here. I'll put it up here because it is technically body horror. But like, you know, scientists extracted the entire nervous system from a human body and laid it out on a table as like a sort of piece of anatomical art. That is what you are. You are nothing else. Everything else is just completely disconnected from you. The only way that you know that anything's going on is via those nerve connections. And I call them USB cables. And so like humans, we're just weird USB cables that are like tangled through a like organic mech. And so while I own my hands and I'm never going to give them to someone else, I still don't understand them, if that makes sense. Anyway, that's enough about like existential crisis and stuff. If you want to be, if you want to like really just... If you want to have more confusion look into like what exactly these are and how they work. Because what you'll start seeing is that quarks, I don't remember if leptons or bosons have them, but quarks certainly do. They have another property about them that we can't really model. It's a bit like a quaternarian or a rotation thing. Or like an imaginary number. We can't really model it, but we can if we just give it a name and play with it, right? And so we call it like color. And it's not literally color, like, because when you're at this level of smallness, light doesn't work. But like, it's a good way of like figuring it out. And it's like called quantum chronography or something. Color charge is a property of quarks and gluons that is related to the particle's strong interaction in the theory of quantum chromodynamics. And like, if you go to that Wikipedia page, just let me know when your eyes close over, because it's like first couple of sentences for me. What's up, dog? Anyway, let's move on to actual questions. Feta! Enough! Okay? Shut the hell up. Come over here. Come on my lap. Come on. Okay, questions. Colin says, is there a system for upgrading Protofox nodes when they're changed? Yes. Lots of, like, upgrade stuff exists. She just give me a second. Well, I've got the code open, so like, provided I double check I'm not going to leak anything, I can show you some upgrade code. Just trying to think of something that's got upgrade. Findchild by name usually has some upgrades. Oh, it had some upgrades in Logix. It doesn't currently have upgrades. Anyone here that knows of a component that's upgraded a lot? I always forget of one. Load control. Find all references to load control. That'll get you an upgrade. Yep. Oh yeah, lots of materials had upgrades. VRIK, yeah. Yeah, that's not too easy to understand. Actually this one will do actually perfectly. Alright, let me make this bigger as well, right? So this is a VRIK avatar. That's the one that like is always memed. And this is our upgrade system for it, right? So when we see unloading here, this is basically like when you spawn in the item, where the avatar, visit the world, etc. At some point it has to load and it ends up here. And when it's saved into the database or cloud, whatever like terminology you're accepting, the control status of it also gets a version number. And depending on that version number, we know this is a saved copy of a VRIK thingy that is version 2. And that value here will be 2. And then we know that if 2 is less than 3, we need to run this upgrade. If 2 is less than 4, we need to run this upgrade. If 2 is less than 5, we run this upgrade, right? And so you can see how here we're building an upgrade. So there's lots of upgrades here. 17... Oh, here's the Vigen scan, by the way. I forgot that was there. 22 upgrades, 23 upgrades, 25 upgrades, right? There's a lot of stuff that's going on here. So here, this upgrade here is when we had facet anchors. And then these two here are upgrades for the locomotion animation system. You can see that we, you know, as we move on and keep doing this, we start getting better at writing update code. So these last sort of 4 or 5 versions here, we just like run a function that does it all. But like before here, we had an inline or whatever. It really just does depend on how complicated the upgrade is. But this upgrade system works for basically any component that exists throughout Resonite and allows us to upgrade them quite easily. This is a common area that gets a lot of upgrades, as is the whole dash system, because there's bits of the dash that aren't ideal that we need to keep upgrading by changing this version number. So there we go. All right, let's move through additional questions. Let me close OBS as well, because it's like blurring out your names. It's like, oh, you're in streaming mode. Let me make your name B dot 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 dot. Okay, so jumping around, Red says, any idea why Render to Transmode Voice sometimes crashes the game when on skin mesh renderers? You're going to have to go to GitHub about that. The reason why you're going to have to go to GitHub about that one is because I'll get it wrong, basically. Like, I'm not up to date on the crash. I know it's like, it should be less common than it was historically, and so people who are like, avoid that component because it causes crashes, they're like, they're not up to date, right? So that's why I say go to the GitHub, because like, you'll have the most up-to-date data there that will allow you to make a decision. Okay, down to Draconis, who says, what is something the average user can do to boost performance on their end without having to leave edit a session and nothing requiring money? Bake your blend shapes, separate your head and body mesh into two separate skinned meshes, limit protoflux and logics on your avatar. Don't limit slot count, limit functions, right? So I've seen an avatar that has 10 slots, but has like, you know, humongous complicated mess on it, right? And it's still laggy to do that. Check the settings as well. Like something that's really good, I want to get it on the wiki. I don't have it on the wiki yet, but Raid's okay with it going there, is Raid made a like guide for like how to tweak the Stream Deck to have the best FPS possible on Resonite on the Stream Deck. But that guide, like, you could also apply it to your computer, and I'm certain that you would get an effect as well. So we can take that information and sort of transform it into a general sort of settings for performance when you just want performance, right? Speaking of this code here, there's an optimization that we can do here just in terms of code style, which is we can remove this and we can remove this, and then like, yay, it looks like all the others where it's just run synchronously and then semicolon. But there we go. Let me move down to other questions. All right, that got questioned. Nuki says, have you seen the new pedestals in the Avatar Station? I have not. Moving on. Which dark matter particle do you believe will be more successful? I'm not up to date on dark matter right now. And that's another thing that really annoys me, right? Like, our mathematics for the universe doesn't work. The only way for it to work is that there is, like, an enormous, like, unimaginable amount of matter and energy out there that we can't see. And again, that makes me uncomfortable. It's like, let me just eat my, like, my ham and cheese sandwich and, like, have an existential crisis. How anyone, like, doesn't manage to, like, how anyone manages to not have these crises when they learn the truths about reality is just beyond me. It's like, hey guys, we don't actually know how the world works. Like, at all. Cool. Like, right now, like, touch the desk that you're sitting at or whatever, right? The fact that you're feeling it is so complicated. It's like, it's mind-blowingly complicated. And everyone's just like, yeah, I'm fine with that. No, not at all. It's hilariously complicated. Yeah, the freak says, why is stuff? It's exactly that, right? So, like, you literally aren't touching the desk, right? If you touch a desk right now, you're literally not touching it. Like, the particles of your fingers are basically vibrating in a way that means that the desk is reacting to that. And then the way that the particles react involves a nerve firing. And then that nerve travels those USB cables up to your brain and goes, you're touching a desk. You're not literally touching a desk. And that like force field that Fruks is talking about that repels you, right? It is so detailed that that's how you feel texture. So if you touch something smooth, a different configuration of particles are repelling your fingers, which is why it feels smooth, to if you touch something rough. And everyone's just okay with this. It's like, boggles my brain. I'm just like, I'm not okay with it. Please, like, why? And then everyone will be like, oh, do you mean like grander purpose? And I'm like, oh, maybe. Like, maybe someone made it. Like, I don't think they're a deity that deserves reverence about it, but, like, some thing happened that caused all this stuff to happen. Let's try and stay on Resonite before I just make you all sort of crawl into your bed and rock backwards and forwards. Nuki says, is there any way we can get help setting up new tutorials in the Avatar Station before the showcase influx hits? Contact the Mentor team. Secondarily, they ask, is there any information you'll think should be added or changed to the Avatar Station before the influx? I personally haven't seen it, so contact the Mentor team. Okay, Grand has a question. I found that on Linux Proton, when in VR mode, Resonite seems to eat up more memory than is reasonable, eventually eating all my RAM and my swap page files, though I feel this is either a memory leak or a garbage collector problem. Are you aware of it? If there is a GitHub issue, I am aware of it. If there is not, I am not. My brain is now contained in GitHub. I'll have to put like a couple of cheese issues that are just like cheese screamed over and over again, just like cheese in all caps, enter, cheese in all caps, enter. So Nuki says, I am on the Mentor team, I'm asking for actual stuff. Yeah, that isn't how you like get help from us. Like I understand and I empathize with what you're doing, but like, particularly me, I am like insanely busy. I'm gonna give you the next, like, I'm gonna give you the rest of my day. All right. After I'm done here with office hours, I'm gonna take the dog out for a walk, and on the way back, I'm gonna stop by a Walgreens and I'm gonna pick up like soda. Like, I'm gonna get as much soda as I can carry and bring it back and put it in the fridge. And then when it's cold, I'm just gonna like chug it for the rest of the day. But whilst I'm waiting for that soda to cool down, and once that soda's cooled down, I'm gonna be sat exactly where I am working on cursor stuff, right? And that's all I'm gonna do today until it's done, right? And that's because it needs to be done. And that's my day. So I don't have time, unfortunately, to visit the Avatar station and provide feedback. I really wish I could, and it isn't like a problem that you know, it's not you, it's not your project, it's not like anything like that. It is simply the fact of like I have to type code today as fast as I can. So if you want help, the mentor team is the best place. Beyond that, the rest of the team in the area for the influx and that event. Oh, and at some point, because it's just Tuesday, there might be some firefighter drama TV shows out that I watch. So I might watch those as well. There'll be multiple dog walks throughout the day, but it's basically going to be like, if I'm not playing with the dog eating, I'm here typing cursor code. Hey guys, do you want a sneak preview of the cursor code? I'll start up Resonite with the current like state of cursors. Builds, Windows. All right, I don't see any other questions. So I'm just going to launch Resonite and take a look at the current state of cursors. Draconis, the button on go.resonite.com does not function yet. You'll see it in the update notes. Once the update notes hit, it will function. So just wait for the update notes. But we are very close to that one. That took a lot of work, right? That was just like, it was one of those systems we hadn't touched in a while. And so like, I needed to like get in there, get my hands dirty and fix it all. Same thing's happening with curses right now as well. Colin the Cat says, what do you think about Resonite getting a mascot? We kind of already do have a mascot, which is Gloopy, Stroke Yellow Dog Man themselves, and all the other like critters, etc. that are on our team. So like, I don't think we need like an official one. I have seen a couple of like fan arts of like a Gloopy themed avatar. And I don't mean like, you know, they've stuck Gloopy in an avatar creator and it's a head and hands avatar. There was someone who had integrated the theme of Resonite, the theme of Gloopy into like a humanoid figure. And it was really good. Grand said, can the root of go.resonite.com have a world browser? Yeah, I actually made an issue for that on the repository for that. Go.resonite.com is entirely open source. I don't know if it'll stay the way that it currently is written, because as a team, we aren't that well-versed in JavaScript. We do have a large piece of our infrastructure that runs JavaScript, but it runs that because it needs to, not because we want it to, which is some of our Cloudflare stuff. Sometimes, like, Resonite loading is scary because you're like, what is that? Like, it looks like a figure. You'll even be able to see that on your screen, but it like looks like there's a humanoid figure at the bottom half of that picture, and it's really like scary. It's like I'm being haunted or something. It's crazy. All right, let me just double check that I'm once again not gonna show anything problematic. Great, I'm in. Let's go ahead and take a look. I actually do need feedback on this, so it'll be great. Keep the questions coming, but I'm gonna show you some cursor stuff. All right, so we're in just local home. I spend most of my time in local home because I just need to like grab a box then restart Resonite 4 times. So like, you can see here that even on this branch, right, the cursors are the same size going between grab and not grab. These are still a little bit small here, so we can go ahead and we can do 2, which is I think the default for the base cursor size. So here's 2, and you can see that's a lot better than it currently is. You don't see a stream. I'm streaming. So that's good. But what I added yesterday was multipliers for these, and this is the like feedback I want, right? So we've got a base size and then we've got multipliers, and I'm like, is it better to have a base size and then multipliers, or is it better just to have sizes? So instead of it being a multiplier here, I could just do like grab size and you'd be able to type a size. But like here you can basically say like, hey, I want the grab cursor to be huge compared to the regular cursor. So everything's like relative. So you might say like, hey, I only want like a small regular cursor. But when something's being grabbed, I struggle to see it. So I want the cursor when you're grabbing to be 5 times bigger. And there you go. Let's see what other ones. Yeah, buttons. They have their own cursor. So this is like this. I need to change the sizing on. But once again, here I could go 5. And then this is like huge for buttons. That's not going to. do it, is it? I'll have to spawn out some like actual UI at some point to test that one. What other curses are there in settings? Text slider. Oh yeah, sliders. Is there anything I can? I guess I can do the old ones. Oh, that doesn't do the text one either. Maybe that's a bug. Who knows? It's me. Who knows? Let's try. We got like a slider. Yeah, we got a slider. That should have the slide thing, but it's old, so maybe not. I'm literally seeing no feedback based on my question. It's like, would you rather like set the pixel size of each cursor or have this multiplier system? That's what I'm trying to figure out. This here means the base cursor is 5, and then when you grab stuff, we multiply it by 5. So it'll be 25 times larger when you... There we go. You can also go not negative, but you can go less than 1 on these. So this would make the grab cursor 10% of the size of the non-grab cursor. Ignore the desktop one as well. Like, it's weird. Like, it's the only one that's actually live right now as well, which is like, it's really fun. But there we go. Anyway, let's go for some more questions. Nuka says, I just got a Kinect 360. Any advice for making that work on PC body tracking? Is that the Kinect for the Xbox 360? If so, good luck, because I don't think those are supported on Windows anymore. If it's the Xbox One Kinect, though, then you might have some luck. You'll know which one it is by if it's square or not. If it's rounded, it's the 360 one. If it's square, then it's the Xbox one. You can make it work. I got it working. And if I spent 5 minutes trying to find it, I would find the video for you when I got it working, which is where my entire body turned inside out. That was VRChat, though, and it was like 5 days ago. Not like 5 days ago, 5 years ago or something like that. Moving forwards to Red's question. Any idea why the game freezes when grabbing the freeform dash for the first time each launch? Yes, that is caused by that's caused by warming colliders. So we don't pre-warm. I don't actually know why we don't warm colliders ahead of time, but we don't pre-warm colliders. So the moment you interact with a collider in the physics system, we have to do a little bit of work. I don't remember the specifics, but we have to do a little bit of work when you first initially grab something. Yeah, when I said we have to do some work, I don't know the details. That's why Frux is here. So Frux is like, it's the JIT compiler that's doing the work, right? So yeah, it's basically like when you join, first time item you grab, it'll be a bit jittery. Also, the first item that you walk into might be a bit jittery. Like, say this had a collider on it, that would be a bit jittery. That will probably be addressed at some point during the performance update, actually. Some point. Interesting. Yeah, so .NET 9 might just solve that problem. Question from Nuki says, is the color type used for anything? I only have ZColorX. In some cases, we need to replace the color use with ColorX. And then in a couple of places, we need to use color without ColorX. It's like, it's going to be there for like, probably for a long time, but like, it doesn't matter, basically. It's a technical thing for us to look at. So you'll sometimes see that we don't have like a ColorX version of a node or a ColorX version of a component. And that's something that we need to fix, of course. But like those are sort of few and far between. I haven't seen one in a while. We did have a bunch of updates to some color nodes a while ago. And I know that was fun, right? Because we made a color version of it and a ColorX version of it just in case. And those will probably be around for quite a while. Basically, ColorX has a profile and color does not. ColorX's profile is like how we do color management. And when we mean profile, it's like the color profile that the color is recorded in. Because, like, just look up color stuff. It's so complicated. I'm also, like, slightly colorblind. So when it comes to colors, I just sort of, like, peace out. Like, obviously, if people need help, I'll try. But like, there are much better people for colors, right? We've got Geens, the graphics programmer, and other than that, like, you know, the rest of the team can see colors better than I can. It's fine, but like, it just leads to arguments. Like, in some lighting conditions, this green box gizmo would appear yellow to me, and there's just nothing I can do about it. So, I'm not useful. Red asks, any idea when a better Profox crash handling will occur? Currently, just screws up the game and dumps the structures to the log. Depends what type of crash that you're dealing with. If there's a world crash, there's nothing we can do, right? The world like doesn't know what to do, right? We try and catch as many exceptions or problems as we can, but occasionally stuff just bubbles up too high and we can't do anything about it and we have to crash the world. So it depends what type you're talking about. One of the interesting things to think about, though, is that Protoflux as a language is still quite new. And that means that, like, one of the areas that we need to improve on is tooling for that language. So that's things like comments, profiling, performance, collections, all the DSP stuff that you can see on the GitHub, etc. But yeah, that might also include better error handling. That's not something that we have. A good example here might be the write nodes, right? Those originally did not have on failure pulses, right? Or on failure outputs, whatever you want to call them. So it was not possible to do anything when a write failed, but those were added. That's actually one of the more notable changes that Outsider added a long time ago, if you remember Outsider. They added a bunch of sort of like on fail impulse outputs to the logics nodes at the time. Let's head to Colin's question, which I did miss. I also missed Aaron's question, but like that's not res. I missed a bunch of questions. Anyway, okay, let me see. Red's question, done. Aaron's question, do you have any clever white elephant Christmas ideas? Yes. You have to get something that's a little bit like naughty. Like go to one of those like shops that sells like, I don't know, like a apron with like a penis drawn on it or something. Those always go those always go well at white Christmases, white elephants, whatever the fuck they're called. We did one of those a couple of Christmases ago, and it was just like, it was just a pain in the butt. I was just like, hey, can I just go drink more booze? Thanks. Colin the Cat says, is it possible to upload custom localization? Is it possible to upload custom localization assets for creations? It is planned to make that possible at some point. We do occasionally run into issues that are occurring with that. There's a couple of the components that sort of have hidden properties that aren't available in the inspector that set them up in the localization area. I think there were changes to them to sort of change that behavior recently, but I don't remember the details. But yes, it is eventually we want to do it that way. The reason behind that is just because our localization components can do like lots of the lifting for you, provided you can get the string database to them, like the JSON file or whatever. And so if we have a way for you to basically say, like, here's my creation, here's my string database file, then it would be really useful. But right now you can only use our string database file, which is the global one. All right, so that one's done. Red's one about Protoflux crash handling is also done. Okay, on to Grand. Sometimes they have issues with loading new assets for worlds and can either see through unloaded assets. Yep. Or falling through because the colors aren't loaded yet. Is it possible to rise a certain area of the world to load it fast? You need to watch my first tutorial ever. I've redone it, someone can please link it if that helps. It's the stop yourself from falling through the floor while the world's loading tutorial. Emergency Temporal Shift says, all my white elephants are at a church. I promise you, like, it still will work. I mean, you'd have to be like, probably limit it a little bit, but like, it would still be funny. Aaron says that they weren't expecting that answer. Yeah, like every single time I've done one of those, the most popular gift had been like, I don't know, an apron with a penis drawn on it or something of equivalent of that nature. And it's because it caused a laugh, right? You're a white elephant not to exchange gifts. You're there to like get a laugh, right? And especially imagine like, I don't know, the poor unfortunate soul that has to unwrap your apron, right? They've got to laugh about it, and they're like the laugh of the room, and it's fun. So, like, there you go. Like, why elephants are for an experience, not for a gift. Thank you, quite know how to pronounce that, but Javidin, for the Resonite tutorial, stop users falling through the floor. That will sort you out there. If it's someone else's world that they haven't configured correctly with those settings, politely, and I mean this truthfully, like, politely explain to them how to do the stuff from that video. As for, like, more loading control, we do have a Hub on that one that I'll need to wait for. Red's updated with the GitHub issue for the problem that occurred at Creator Jam. I'll have to take a look at what actually the crash was here. It's just, I don't want to download a log file and read for it. I did do that once, like in a voice call though. I downloaded a log file and I talked the people that were on the voice call through how I read it and the information that I got from that log file and how that was useful, and people really enjoyed that. So, hey, maybe we'll do that at some point. Anyway, we're kind of at time. We got distracted a lot by me drawing scribbles in ExcaliDraw for a bit, but hope that was useful. If there are additional questions, I will take the three from the people that are typing. So Venport, Around a Meatball, and Grand. If you've got a question, go ahead, type it. Otherwise, we'll close off. I really need to get the dog outside. They haven't been outside like all morning. I used to like wake up in a panic, and then I would like immediately like walk the dog to make sure they didn't like wake up and pee. Because like, what's the first thing you do when you wake up as a human? Usually pee. But they know how to ask to go out, and so I was just waiting and seeing if they did that, and that was cool. Because they asked like 5 seconds into office hours, they asked. So I don't want to like, you know, ignore their ask, because that's rude. Like, I trained my dog to have autonomy, and when they go outside, and now I'm ignoring that autonomy. That's rude. Venport says, what would cause crashes when it tries to dump the world to fail? I'll just have to look at the crash log. In languages that have exceptions, exceptions can just, like, happen from any part of the code that you're calling. And sometimes they're, like, really confusing and really silly. So we had a crash log from someone in discussion yesterday, and it seemed like because their internet was interrupted during the process of connecting, one of the like keys that like is required for a join to work just wasn't correct in memory or whatever. And then like a weird error appeared that we'd never seen before because we didn't think that that could happen. So in a lot of cases, due to the nature of an exception-based sort of language, you need to basically look at the log and it will say like, exception, potato exception, you didn't handle the potato exception. Great, we do a code update that handles the potato exception. And in some cases, handling the potato exception is just a better log message. So instead of it being, hey, this unexpected error happens, it's, hey, this potato exception happened, and we can tell you a little bit more about what might happen there. So in that particular example I meant about internet connectivity, maybe we can detect it somehow and be like, your internet's unstable, let's retry in a bit, or something like that. There's no, unfortunately, there's like no real option of avoiding that, because like anything that you call can basically throw whatever it wants, and then you have to kind of deal with it. JV Den talks about how they see errors that are triggered that have comments near them saying this will never happen. Yeah, we have that too. It's like, this will never happen, then it does happen. That's actually something I really like about the newer versions of the C# language and the newer versions of .NET as well, and .NET's foundation. They're moving towards like nullables everywhere, and like nullable like data types all throughout a code base is the quickest way to avoid a null pointer exception being thrown. So that's good. But like, you're still going to have like, you're still going to have random exceptions that throw. And if you don't catch them, they'll just be logged into the log file as this happened. We don't know what it is. We don't know what happened. What should we do when like potato exceptions thrown? Nuki says, how do I check a dynamic variable from a value equality drive? I don't remember what value equality drive looks like. Let's add a value equality drive to this cube using my giant cursor. Fix this, just give me a second. There we go. Okay, box. Transform. Let's do float. That's the bool, right? Yeah. It's been a while since I've used this particular one. But yeah, that's the bool, and it's like, hey, is this the same as this? Yeah, okay. Well, you just use a, where are we? Value variable float, right? So here's how you get the variable. Like, we could do, like, world potato, and then you put that into there, and then you say, hey, 5. And now when world potato is 5, that will turn to true. So if we were to go over here, make a new empty object, and we go attach component, data value dynamic value variable float. All right, so when that becomes 5 here, it updates to 5 here, which triggers the value equality driver, which checks that. Aaron says that they would like to have the epsilon on the equality driver. Go ahead and GitHub that. That's a really good feature, actually. Venport, as much as I understand and empathize with the problem, pasting like stack traces into office hours it's not going to be productive. Just make sure that I've got the GitHub issue, and I'll take a look at it when I can. Unfortunately, that when it can might be like next year Easter or something because of how busy we are right now. But like, we honestly are trying our best. Right, there's just like so much going on. All right, let's check through these questions. Grant's talking about like world structuring grids and loading. There is a GitHub issue for that. It's a feature. It's a matter of prioritization. Yeah. Moving forwards, value equality driver. We did that. It's like on the screen right now. Actually, now it is. I don't think you can use a dynamic field. But the problem with dynamic field is that you need a field, right? So you would have to have another place to put it, like another value that you can put it in. All right, so that'll work, but because it's the reference values of, yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to equality, right? You want to check that a dynamic variable is a certain value in components. There, right, that's how you do it. Strictly speaking, with dynamic field as well, when you're using dynamic field, the field that you specify here is like, or should be at least, viewed as like the authority of the field. And that means that you shouldn't really have more than one dynamic field. Anyway, it sounds like we have like specific implementation details that make a dynamic field more suitable for that particular occurrence. So we're good. Let me just scroll through, make sure we haven't got any standing questions. Dun 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 dun. Yeah, we're done. I'm gonna go ahead, leave off here, take this dog out for a walk, grab that soda as I mentioned, and then type some curse code to fix this weird problem. For context, this cursor image here, I think it's not square. So I need to double check, because if it's not square, it messes everything up. And that's why it looks weird. All right, you see how that looks weird? I don't think it's square. So I'll have to check that. Anyway, I'll speak to you guys later.